Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.ag. And for this week only, get a 110% sign-on bonus. 110% of your initial deposit by using code NEXTROUND. That's MyBookie.ag, code NEXTROUND.
Dan Wetzel is the national columnist for Yahoo Sports. The draft is in his town, in Detroit tonight. Dan, do you know your blood type? Not because you're going to the draft or anything. I'm just curious if you do know your blood type.
I think it's like D+. Or maybe that was just my grade point.
That was your GPA, Dan.
That letter seems familiar. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. There wasn't any A, B, or any A+.
A+? Yeah, I'm not A+, trust me. As a guy that has lived in Detroit for a very long time, how big a deal is this among Detroiters? I assume that's what you call yourselves, that this the draft is there in the Motor City tonight.
Hell yeah, drinking outdoors? I don't know if you know too much about Detroit, but that's about all we need. Wait, it's okay? The cops ain't going to arrest us or nothing? Yeah, on our podcast, we were calling it Detroit's Mardi Gras. They're just going to sit around, watch TV, and drink in the streets.
I think it was 2017, the NFL, they started moving the draft around. They went to Chicago after New York, but they still held it in a theater. And then once they went to Philly, this is all Philly's fault. They ingeniously put the thing outside and figured, hey, anyone want to come watch this? And if you've ever been to a draft, nothing happens. Like, it is, like, they used to run it could be a Zoom call. Well, it was a Zoom call there in 2020. But, like, it's two guys shaking hands, and that's it, right? So nothing happens. Why would you put it outside? How many 60, 70,000 people showed up in Philly and turned it into this, like, event, right? Just a great party. And now, obviously, it's taken off. Nashville was crazy. Vegas, Cleveland had a pretty good one. And believe me, Detroit will absolutely show out tonight. Every hotel room in the city is sold out, like 7,000 hotel rooms. People coming from all over. They're estimating 400,000 people over the weekend just out there. So people are excited for the draft, they're excited for football, and then they're excited to have the country see Detroit in a, maybe a different light than historically it has been, for good reason. But a lot like a city like Birmingham, you don't get a whole lot of chances. This isn't New York or San Francisco or something to kind of show off the city. So Detroit's very excited.
Well, Nashville is my high bar of the draft. It was right during the music district, the bar district. It was a great scene. Yeah. I apologize. All I know about Detroit is the movie 8 Mile. Do you guys have a bar scene, a strip there that they're hosting this thing at tonight? Where is the draft happening?
And they could have done it right down 8 Mile. That would have been pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. the prospect that could finish running the full 8 miles, you are the number one pick.
It would have been quite a scene. Yeah, they put it right downtown. So it's just surrounded by all the buildings. They don't have a Broadway, right? There are no displaced bachelorette party. the poor bachelorettes of Nashville. Couldn't do it that one weekend.
No, nobody's peddling, making their own daiquiris.
Yes, no, my God. I mean, Nashville is great, but that is overwhelming when you're there. That's a lot of bachelorette parties. a lot of screaming to bad Morgan Wallen covers. But anyway, it's not really a bar district, but they're right in the city. So like last year, Kansas City. They do everything by Union Station, all their Chiefs parades and Royals parades. Obviously, the incident this year, but that's kind of outside of downtown. Detroit's just plopping it right in the middle, and so it'll kind of weave around, and they got screens up. I was down there. They got screens up everywhere. So it's not really a bar district. It's not. I think what was cool about Nashville was, people were up on those. Every bar's got those
Rooftops, yeah.
Yeah, rooftops and decks and stuff. It won't quite be that, but it'll be a mob scene.
When this was announced that it was going to be in Detroit, I guess most Detroit fans assumed, hey, we're going to be selecting in the top five.
Yeah.
And now we're
talking Detroit
Super Bowl. I mean, generally speaking.
Yeah, their Super Bowl is the draft, right?
But now, Dan, I mean, we're talking about a team that was making noise in the postseason, and Brad Holmes has done such a good job as the general manager assembling this talent, and now they're selecting 29th overall. I mean, I would assume that Detroit fans are going to be kind of happy with whatever they get at the back end of the first round.
Brad Holmes could pick a punter with the 29th pick, and the Lions fans would believe him at this point. There's probably not a GM in the league with a higher Q rating or ability. I think he has had, the stat may be slightly off, but I remember writing it at some point. I think he's had 14 top 100 selections so far, and 11 of them panned out, either in big ways or at least reasonable ways. And, like, the other three are not bad either. Like, there hasn't been a bust. So if you can do that, you get good really quick. And that's how Detroit got good really quick. Obviously, Jared Goff has played really well, but all of a sudden you're surrounding him. So last year he takes Jahmyr Gibbs at 12, right, running back, obviously from Bama, and he gets torched for this. Then he takes Sam Laporta, a tight end, and everyone's like, "What? You know, these picks don't make positional sense," and all the mock drafters were mocking him. And then you get to the season, and Laporta's as good as anybody, and Jahmyr Gibbs was a monstrous talent for him, and it fit perfectly for what the offense is. So he is a guy that's just picking who he thinks will fit the team and what the best available player, and he's not dealing with all the other stuff. And I intellectually like that. I think that the draft is the analytics on the draft and people talking about the analytics and what you got to do, and they're trying to bring sense to a senseless process. I don't know that you can ever really figure out the draft. And when you try to overthink it's a very basic thing. Pick good players. And if you just do that, it's very boring. But if you pick good players pretty soon, like I said, all of a sudden you have 10, 11 really good football players on your team, you're going to win a lot of football games. It doesn't necessarily matter what position they're playing.
Dan Wetzel is with us, national columnist, Yahoo Sports, at Dan Wetzel on Twitter. And when you go, by the way, to his Twitter handle, at Dan Wetzel, you will see the Epic Athlete Series. If you've got a young reader in your family that's a big sports fan, some great athletes that he highlights in books. Easy for the kids to read there. As Dan told you, his GPA was a D+, so it can't be too deep. Epic Athletes for the young readers in your life. You can see that on Dan's Twitter feed. Do you buy into this narrative? Like, here's what we do with a draft. We fall in love with a player like Caleb Williams, and then he plays for a year and everybody loves him. And then his second year, they're like, okay, now let's tear this guy apart a little bit. We loved him for a year, but now that he's about to be the number one pick, let's find everything we hate about him. So now he's immature. And
that's called content.
Yeah. And frankly, I mean, the more he talks, Dan, I'm being honest with you, the less I like him. I mean, are you concerned about his makeup for the Chicago Bears?
I mean, you know, I don't know him, and these are so hard. What was it? I think it's 2021 and 2022, those two drafts. Only two quarterbacks in the 2021 and 2022 drafts. All the guys picked are still with the same team they were drafted at or starting, some kind of stat like that.
Yeah.
And those two players are Trevor Lawrence, who went number one, and Brock Purdy, who went last. So, you know, I don't know. Like, you can spin these things. You go, gosh, the guy was crying to his mom. You know, is that a football player? Is that a leader that can command the locker room? Nah, you know, no. And then otherwise you go, but what about a guy that cares so much about winning that he's crying and doesn't care if everyone sees he's crying? Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I mean, I have concern about every one of these guys because you sit there and go through this every year and you go, oh, gosh, this guy can't miss. Look, J.J. McCarthy barely did anything in college. Like, he's a good player. He could, you know, very mobile, leadership, like, didn't make mistakes. But, and he obviously can throw the ball. He's a very good athlete. Like, he's a really good hockey player. Like, that kind of, like, just great athlete. But all of a sudden, people are like, yeah, he's going third to the Patriots. And you're like, really? Like, I never saw that out of J.J. McCarthy. I saw a very good college player. you just don't know which guys are gonna do what, especially at that quarterback position. It's befuddling to see. But a couple years ago, we had five. We had all these guys go, and you know, Zach Wilson in with his team, and Trey Lance didn't pan out, Mac Jones didn't pan out, and Justin Fields didn't pan out, and you just sit back and go, gosh, what, you know, how can you predict any of these guys? I would have thought one of them would work. None of them did.
Did you see, I don't know if you saw this, we had it on the show yesterday, I think Paul Himbo is the guy's name that works on Get Up. He's an ESPN statistician.
Yeah, he does a trivia, yeah, really good trivia stats and stuff.
Yeah, and he did the stats. What he based it on was, did this player sign a second contract with the team that drafted him? Now, when you got free agency and things like that, that's going to skew this a little bit. But the only position that was over 50% was offensive tackle. Everything else was at best a 50-50 proposition. And quarterback obviously was included in that.
Well, center was the number one.
Well, center was number one, but it only had like 12 picks in 20 years. So it was a little bit of a statistical outlier.
And you know, back to Detroit, like they picked Frank Ragnow out of Arkansas 1 year in the first round, their center.
Yeah.
And I remember that everyone being like, man, like, that's the boringest pick, right?
That's right.
Like, that guy's incredible. Like, he's the center of that whole team, you know? And so you get those guys. But, yeah, it's amazing the amount of money spent, right, and the amount of effort. And, these staffs of scouts are unbelievable. They're huge, and they're talented, and they're, you know, they work so hard, and nobody can really hit at a reasonable rate. And that's why I think, to the point earlier about Brad Holmes or any general manager, just like, I'm just going to pick good players, and I'm not going to bother with all this other stuff. Like, these are the guys I want. That guy comes up, I'm grabbing them. I think we've come to a point where we've overthought the draft, and I would say you can blame it all on media or everything, fans, just kind of, because I mean, what do we know? How much Caleb Williams tape did you really watch, right? I watched him play football. I'm not spending my free time breaking down his footwork or something against the blitz, but they are. But it's not just us who don't know, it's the teams.
Yep.
The teams get it wrong, and these are massive decisions. These are career defining decisions. You get this wrong, the Bears get this wrong again. The Bears haven't had a all-pro quarterback since 1950.
Yeah, Sid Luckman, right?
Sid Luckman. 51 years they haven't got a quarterback.
Guy's been dead for a quarter of a century.
Yeah. Some of the Bears.
Hey, honest to goodness, Sid Luckman sounds like something you'd be watching, like that old movie American Graffiti.
Yeah.
Who's playing the dance tonight? Sid Luckman is. Oh.
Sid Luckman and the Crooners. Yeah.
hey, so Dan, everybody reaches for quarterback, and so JJ's probably going to go in the top five, but obviously Marvin Harrison is probably going to go in the top five. Do you think a bigger applause for JJ or bigger boos for Marvin Harrison?
Ooh, yeah.
I suppose there'll be a little booing if it's an Ohio State player, but not that. I don't think it's that much. It's like a little different crowd. Michigan's obviously very popular in Michigan, but it's more of a pro crowd. So there's definitely a lot of interest in what JJ McCarthy does. Although I don't think he's at the draft. I'll say this about Marvin Harrison. This is one of the guys. I'll do this tonight on our pod. We'll pick like guys you just know are going to be good, and I don't really care where they got picked. Like Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a good NFL player, like Joe Alt, right? Like Kyle Hamilton. Like I bet Baltimore always gets these guys. These get guys that just like, oh, Kyle Hamilton, that's going to be a good football player. He may not be the greatest. I remember that was with Lamb, who went to Dallas. Like, he was so good at Oklahoma. Like, there's just sort of guys you're like, yeah, that guy is going to be like Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers can't miss.
You have any doubt he's going to be at least good?
No, I've seen him fall to like 15. Oh,
what a deal!
He is the guy that I think will end up being a pretty much a bust.
Dunaway is the one Brock Bowers bust guy.
Right? Really, I am the one Brock. It's 8 hours and 41 minutes away from the draft. Uh-huh. I may be the only guy that thinks Brock Bowers is a bust.
If he gets hit by a bus, is the only way he's a bust.
If he gets a crappy quarterback,
other than injured, he never missed.
Never.
I know. Throw it away. They really like.
I want those guys on my team. Like, I'm going to. Marvin Harrison Jr. is like a pro. Like, that guy's just going to be a pro. Is he going to end up being the number one receiver in the league? I don't know. Probably not. But there's only one guy to be that guy. But you're picking him and going, yeah, third and eight, I need a pass. Oh, we're throwing it to Marv. I mean, that kid was great.
Brock Bowers, Dunaway, they ran tight end reverses to the guy against SEC defenses.
Yeah, I want Dunaway to be the GM in the war room tonight for the Saints.
I'd be freaking Bowers. Kevin Costner up there. My pick's in. I watched him at Jordan-Hare Stadium. He got shut down until Auburn got DB.
He won that game for them.
After there was an injury.
After there was an injury,
the guy that was shutting him down until that injury.
I heard Auburn, and he never did anything against Bama. Walking out saying 19. Well, who the hell's 19? He won that game for
not until there was an injury in the game.
Wait, to who?
Yeah, Wetzel's got to go drink. Go drink, Wetzel.
No, Rockstar's got to.
Okay, Rockstar has one more question. Okay,
what?
One more, and then I got to get after this. It's only like 10 hours away. I mean,
Rockstar only asks questions to Kalen DeBoer, Nick Saban, Hugh Freeze, Gus Malzahn, people like that. But he has a question for Dan for some reason.
Well, Dunaway mentioned Eminem. How being in Detroit, how significant is the name Rodriguez to you?
How significant is Rodriguez?
The musician Rodriguez, Sisto Rodriguez.
Don't ask me about music, man. I barely know Eminem.
There's a documentary takes place in Detroit, Searching for Sugar Man. Did you ever watch it?
I have not seen it. No.
You've got to watch Searching for Sugar Man. It's from 2012. It's about a musician from Detroit. And he didn't have a record deal and just couldn't do it. He's an amazing songwriter and singer, didn't have anything. Had tapes released during apartheid in South Africa where music was illegal. Guys loved this guy. They had no idea who he was. And they tried to find this musician named Rodriguez.
Detroit?
Yes, he's from Detroit. It's one of my favorite documentaries I've ever seen. It's got a huge twist at the end. It's a true story. So, Searching for Sugar Man.
All right, there you go. I'm going to watch that once the draft is over.
Yeah,
I don't have a lot of outside interest. I spend my day talking to, like, offensive coordinators from the MAC. Like, yeah, I'm not well-rounded at all. So, that's good. I'll check that out.
By the way, LT's...
It's a wild city. Detroit's a great city. It's not organized real well, but it's got a lot of soul to it. So. Yeah.
By the way, LT's question that you had on your pod was from Talladega.
Yeah. Path 40 was correct. We were in Talladega.
From the infield at Talladega, which is sort of like at times, Mardi Gras. Yeah.
Oh, I've been there. Yeah, I covered a few towns. I used to cover a lot of that.
Yeah, Wetzel, if you want it, I'm retiring the Sleeve of Wolf shirt. I can send it to you.
I'm okay. You keep that.
That was my favorite part about it is that you guys were playing the video in which Lance is wearing a sleeveless Wolf shirt, and you wouldn't let 40 convince you that he was in the infield at Talladega. I'm like, where else would Lance wear
Botanical
that?
Botanical Gardens.
I feel bad. I didn't know we were playing the video on the Zoom.
Oh, okay.
So I wasn't watching it. That's why I didn't know, because I've been to Talladega and I'd seen the video before, but I thought we just had the audio. So. Our podcast is not particularly well run because I'm the host. And you guys are a professional operation. We just sort of do stuff. But it was a great segment. We enjoyed it. I think we concluded that we understood the. I mean, Lincoln, he did a lot. Can't argue with his resume. But where, you know. 4th and 31. Does he have one of those? I don't know.
Yeah. By the way, Rockstar mentioned a documentary. Dan is executive producer of the Aaron Hernandez Netflix doc. If you've never seen that, it's fantastic too. At Dan Wetzel on Twitter and read him at Yahoo Sports. Thank you very much for the time, Dan. Always great talking with you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. Enjoy the night.